We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byers, just exploring love and relationships because, you know, after a bunch of episodes, still can't figure out why I'm single. My guest today is a hairstylist, television host, podcaster, and New York Times bestselling author. They are one of the stars of the Emmy Award-winning show Queer Eye and the host of Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. You better believe we have Jonathan Van Ness! Hi.
That was the best intro I've ever had, but also wouldn't that have been hilarious if you would have been like, host of Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness, you better believe we have like some totally other person. Like I had an intrusive thought that that's what you said. I don't know if that's that funny, but I love you and I'm so excited I'm here and I love you so much I can't stand it. How are you, honey?
I'm good. How are you? How are things?
You know, They are thinging. Mm-hmm. They are thinging right along. The things continue to develop.
Yes.
One day after another.
Yes, day by day, step by step.
Now, I don't know about this, but earlier, that gorgeous baby ran past you in the back. Who is that gorgeous baby's
that
name?
That is Clyde. He's a very good boy.
Does everyone know about how cute his tail is? Like, that purple accented tail is the cutest thing I've ever seen. And I follow you on it. You're not posting about how cute his tail is?
Well, okay, I don't really post things inside my house because that's where I draw a boundary. So if I take a picture of him outside where you can't see like a street sign that's near my house, I will post it. But for the most part, I keep him to myself. He's my little boy.
I would just double tap smash like the a picture of that purple tail. Like his cute purple tail, like the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's the cutest like pop of color. Like, so cute, so well-placed. Like, I'm obsessed.
Thank you. My favorite question I get is that natural? And I'm like, a purple tail on a dog? Yes. Yes, it is. He's part eggplant and
purple Weiler. Yeah, purple Weiler or something.
Oh, my God. Jonathan, okay. So you are married.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
I have been married for, I'm turning this shit on, do not disturb, don't even fucking bother me, and I'm on the fucking podcast of Nicole. I've been married for almost, it's been like 3.5 years. We've been together we started dating 4 years ago in 2 days.
Oh, okay. Well, happy almost 4-year anniversary.
I know it's crazy, but our 4-year wedding anniversary will be like next June.
Wait, you've been together 4 years and you've been married for 4 years?
No, we've been together for 4 years. We've been dating for 4 years in 2 days
yes.
time, but we okay. will have been married yes. for 4 years in June, like this coming June. So right now we've married for like 3.5.
Oh, okay. I get it. So wait, you got married like 6 months after meeting?
Oh
my God.
We met, just to make it sound not so crazy, we met in March of 2019, then didn't really do anything. Mm-hmm. Then we started hanging out again. I remember our second date was like October 14th, 2019. Mm-hmm. And then we did get married in June the next year. So like 8 months after that or something.
I love it. A lot of people are like, you should wait, But then I'm like, but if two people want to get married and if two people want to be together, why wait? Get it done. And if things happen, things happen. But, you know, hopefully it won't. Hopefully it'll be fun.
That was certainly our thinking.
So who proposed to whom?
Well, here's the thing. My husband's British. So when the world shut down in March of 2020, mm-hmm. we had just started saying I love you, like that Valentine's Day. And so I remember calling him and I was like, I don't think I'm the type of person who could just like not know when you're gonna fuck me if these borders mm-hmm. close. Like I can't just like go indefinitely without like having sex, you know? Because like our whole thing when we were dating long distance was that we didn't go more than 2 weeks without like seeing each other because he was in the UK okay. and I was over here. So like, it's like our cute little rule. And then when that happened, I was like, I think if we're thinking that this is something that we're like really want to pursue and take seriously, which like I think I do, I think you should like get on a plane right now and like get to Texas like right mm-hmm. now. And so he ended up getting, unbeknownst to me, on like the literal last flight, like out of, he was like on like one of the last flights, like out of Heathrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he came here. And then obviously the way that immigration works is like, you know, it was either like we spent all the time that we could spend. And then it was either like he's going to be here illegally or, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to need to get married. And so it wasn't yes. really like how we imagined. It definitely wasn't how I imagined getting married. But I don't really know how I ever imagined it, you know, anyway. So at first it was really more of like, you know, the immigration lawyer asked us if we wanted to get married, mm-hmm. you know, and then she was like, if you like, this is how, you know, if you guys want to stay together, like this is what you kind of mm-hmm. need to do. And I really don't ever like talk about this, but I'm happy to do it with you. But so it kind of started out like not that sexy, you know, like it was like it was like something we like needed to do. But then after like a couple days, you know, because this was like the middle of May, like end of May of 2020, like it started off feeling a little bit more like necessary. And then it was like really kind of beautiful because like we kind of had to have like all of these really serious talks together, you know, and like figure out like, are we really going to do this and like get married with like a judge mm-hmm. in our backyard? And like, we, you know, like, is this really like what we're going to do? And it was what we did. And it was really sweet. And our families like joined by Zoom because no one could travel in mm-hmm. from the United Kingdom by that point, obviously. So like, his parents joined on Zoom. My parents joined on Zoom, which then immediately broke and they didn't actually see us get married. So when we, like, after we, like, kissed and, like, when he's like, okay, your husband, like, I looked over at the computer and it was black and I was like, oh, my God, my mom's, like, fucking freaking out. Like, she missed it all. So we asked each other. And then that was, like, the story of, like, how we got married.
I love that. I think that's really sweet. So did you do the K-1 visa?
Is that like when you get married to someone?
It is. I watch a lot of 90 Day Fiancé and I sound like maybe I know something, but I simply don't.
I don't remember that term, but maybe. But now he's got his green card all these years later. So that's mm-hmm. good. So he's here. We're married. We're happy. Yeah, I've learned so much like being married. But you know what's interesting? Just this morning, he had a like pickleball lesson. And I was so excited, Nicole, because I got to shit with the door open. And I just like, I, you know, when people are like, oh, I don't have a partner. Like, why? It's like, I miss shitting with the doors open. Like, I miss not living with someone sometimes. Like, I love my uh-huh. husband and I love living with him. But like, it is like, I just also think like, for someone who used to like be really worried about that I didn't have a husband, now that I've been having one, I'm like, the days when you didn't have one were also fun. And I think everyone should really relish shitting with the door open, like farting on the couch when like not care, like, you know, like I just try to keep a little mystery on my asshole because like we have to have, well, we don't have to have anal sex, but that's my main, that's my,
sure,
that's my money
maker.
Sure,
that's what you enjoy.
Yes. And so I do, you know, some gays are more like, you know, humans are humans, but I really do try to like, I try not to fart around Mark a whole lot because I want him to eat my ass a lot. I don't want him to like be seeing my stuff. Not that I shit anyway under the same guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, but obviously if I did, I want to like, you know, because obviously I am one of those people who like, we're human, we shit, like there's things. But I just, it's like going to the play. You don't want to see the backstage. You want to see.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want to see how the sausage is made. A little mystery. I mean, for me, I think that's like 10, 15, 20 years down the line, you can see me shit. Or never. Or absolutely never. I don't know. Some people are very comfortable with that. Me personally, no thank you. I also like a little mystery.
Yeah, I think if you're really committed to like anal, it is a little bit like, I like to just be like, as least drawing attention to the fact that there's shit in there as possible.
Yeah, I mean, sucking dicks, you pee out of a dick, and I like to not think about that when I'm sucking a dick. So I would prefer someone close the door.
Want to hear a funny water sports story?
Yes.
Okay. I used to have sex with this really hot muscle daddy in West Hollywood when I was in my 20s. He was really, really hot. He was so hot. And this one time I texted him when I was like leaving the clubs and I was like, oh my God, can I come over? And he was like, sure, come over. And so I got over there and we were just having this like hot ass sex. And you know how like after sometimes when you have sex with someone, you're like, oh, let's take a shower. Like, cause you just like had sex, you know? So we went and then, you know, sometimes like when that happens, like 20 minutes goes by or whatever. And you're like, oh my God, I could almost do it again.
Have sex again. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was one of those. And so then when we were in the shower, I was like, I think I was like 23 or 24. And I was like, you know what I want? Piss on my chest, like right now. Like, I've never explored that before. Like, I think it's gonna be so hot. Like, I'm just so ready to try that. And so he was like, that's hot, let's do that. And so then the second that the pee touched my chest, my neck jerked like the Exorcist. Like, it jerked like the girl in the Exorcist, like it jerked to the right. And then I had like this immediate, cause like the it was not what it was cracked out to be is what I was like, oh no, that's like some stinky yellow piss. And so I cranked my head to the side and it was a curtain shower.
Yes.
So I turn towards the tile. I start projectile vomiting all over the tile. I'm talking like all the liquor I drank that night, everything. And now there wasn't food. It was just like that liquor throw up and it's just like so much liquid.
Yes.
So he tries to get out of the shower because I start throwing up, right? But he trips. His big toe catches like the edge of the bathtub, you know? So he trips and he rips the whole curtain off the wall, like off the thing, trips over like, falls out of the bathtub. I'm talking like falls hard. And then when I turned my head to be like, oh my God, are you okay? I started throwing up again.
Throwing up.
So like there's vomit on the wall, in the shower, out of the shower, all over and around his ankles and stuff. So obviously after that, we never talked again. We never had sex again. That was the end all be all. And there's even another angle to this story that's even another thing. He had this roommate who was also cute, but I could tell that the roommate wanted to like smear my blood on the walls every time I walked in that house because I knew that the roommate wanted him, like wanted the roommate. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I don't know if they were like, I don't know what their deal was because this was very just sex. Like I didn't care about this guy. Like they were just, he just was really in my arousal template, really shivering my timbers. And that's, you know what I'm saying? and so, but this guy would always just stare daggers into me and I'd be walking upstairs and I would kind of be like, you know, when I'd walk by, but he was awake when I left that night. He was awake and he was on that couch at 3 a.m. And I know that he knew what happened after. Like, I know either he told him or he heard, because I mean, there was falling, there was barfing.
There was noise. It was loud.
And he got, like, I didn't have, like, a cool ending in that story. And that probably made that gay happy. And that's always made me mad.
I mean, that is probably just a party story that this person tells all the time.
I wonder if they know it's me in retrospect. Like, do you ever, like, do you think that they were like, oh my God, that guy that threw up all over you, like, that was a young JVN.
I mean, maybe. I once peed on a man's floor because I was so drunk and we like kind of stayed in touch. So he definitely remembers me and knows who I am. And I know it's a story he tells his friends. So honestly, I do think it's you, but that's legendary and iconic that they have that you gave them that gift.
Will you tell me your peeing on the floor story? Has this podcast heard that before?
This I don't know. Mars, have I told it before? Yes, because I had him on, but I can tell you the Cliff Notes version. So I met him at a dance party at the Apple Store where Diplo was DJing, which is just a mishmouth of, yeah, what? So I meet him, we exchange numbers, he invites me to his party in Brooklyn. I go, and he seemed a little gay, which is... Honestly, fine, but whatever. And I drink like a whole bottle of vodka and he's talking to me and I'm like, but you're gay, just like in the most aggressive way for just bad. So then I was climbing down this ladder and down the stairs to leave with my friend Shallon, and I tripped down the stairs, tumbled down the stairs, passed out. And then they couldn't wake me up, so they wheeled me to the living room, let me sleep on the floor of the living room. I woke up and I was like, I definitely peed on this man's floor. Oh no, I'm like wet. One of my contacts had come out. I was wearing blue contacts at the time. One eye was brown, one eye was blue. Tracks in my hair were coming out. And then I like leave. I just leave. And I'm like in the streets of Brooklyn. My ankle is swollen. I take a cab home. My roommate at the time was like, oh no. And then we truly never spoke again. He was like, be well. And I was like, okay. But then we like reconnected on Twitter. And then I had him on the podcast. And he was like, yeah, you just were a... You were intense. Yeah, truly wild. Yeah, dating in your early 20s is just a time to be feral and insane.
So insane. Yeah, that's even better than I thought. But my early, I was saying so insane just thinking about my own 20s, not your story. But that story is iconic, beautiful. Thank you for bringing me in, for holding me closer through that story.
Thank
that was
you.
Like,
yes.
I needed it. I needed a win. And that story was a win for me.
What is like another terrible dating story where maybe it's the other person who's the problem?
Okay, here's one. This is why you have to be careful of Raya. So I met this guy on Raya who is like, again, gorgeous, giving muscles, giving gorgeousity. Mm-hmm. This is 2018, freshly post Queer Eye. Like, freshly post Queer Eye.
So just everyone is excited.
Yeah, everyone's excited. And I meet this guy and he's like, let's go on a date. And so we go. And then he's like, do you want to go back to your place? And I'm like, sure. And the date was like a lunch date. It was like a weekend. And we like got lunch or something. Like the sun was out. Mm-hmm. But then it was like cute. And I'd had like a day drink. And then he's like, do you want to come? And it was right. Like the lovin' was good. The body was on fire. It was giving girthy. I was feeling nice. So I was feeling like really nice. And I was like, ooh, this could be someone. Cause like, you know, like, so you just like have those first dates and like, this just like amazing chemistry. Yes. And I was just like, this guy's like so hot. Then we're sitting on the couch with his cum inside me and there's this pounding at my door. And I'm like, he's got an ex or something. Like, what? Like, who's this crazy person at the door? Who's the one crazier person than someone's ex that you would never want pounding on your door on a first date? Who's the one person, even more than an ex, that would be a bigger red flag pounding on your door in the first date?
Their mother.
Yes! Exactly! His mother with two fucking dogs. And she's like,
what?
You fucking left me to go fuck someone with these two fucking dogs. Take these fucking dogs. I'm not going to watch your fucking dogs. So, and that's all I can hear. The door's not even open yet.
What the fuck? She followed him?
I don't know if the location was on his phone, if there was a following. I don't know how the fuck. I don't know if she was waiting outside. I don't fucking know. So then he goes to the door, opens the door. She's standing there. They're screaming at each other. She doesn't like animal abuse the dogs, throw them inside, uh-huh. but she like aggressively gives the leashes to him and is like, yes. take your fucking dogs. And she leaves. And then he's like, that was my mom. You know, I just moved back here. Like, I'm living with her. And I'm like, I realized okay. later that they were living together a lot longer than just recently. He was a mess. So I tried to date him for a couple months because, like I said, the dick was so good. I was confused. I tried. It was not. That was like a really good way to just like. But I even tried more after that date. Like, it wasn't immediate. Like, it took me a minute of, like, that's how good it was. But yeah. So yeah. That. And so then I was like, well, that's cool. And then he was like, well, can I get a ride home? Like, so then I had to like give him a ride home with these dogs. Because, like, I guess the mom took the car or something. I don't even know.
That's so funny that you continue to try to date this person. Because, honestly, I identify with that. I'd be like, I can make this work. I've met mom. You know, mom's a little tough. You know, she'll be around. This can't get any worse than this. Maybe I'll get along with mom. Maybe this will be good. Yeah.
It's intense. I like to. Yeah, totally. It was that.
Oh my God, that is so wild. How truly incredible.
Can we talk about the emotional intimacy of you knowing that though? Like, I loved that I was like, who's the one person? And like, or maybe that's just like way obvious or something, but like, I loved that you were just like his mom. That was really good.
Well, I was like, an ex, that's terrible. A sibling, who cares? A cousin, whatever. And then it's like, yeah, you don't want your mother coming to the hookup being like, you just got pounded, take your dogs. Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Real quick, we have to take a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast. But then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Ooh, we're back. Oh my God, I feel like you're filled with dating stories. I'm not as of recent. I took a break from dating and now I'm trying to jump back in. But these people on the apps are absolutely just the worst.
Don't some hot guys get in your DMs?
Not at all.
Are they turned on?
Listen, my DMs are open. You can DM me. No,
with your pole dancing, guys are not trying to like, and girls are not trying to send you pic with your pole. What? That makes me mad.
Nope.
If I was straight, I would be in your DMs. I would have been. In fact, if I was straight and you were into like long haired, effeminate, like non-binary people or something,
uh-huh.
or even if I was bi and you were into that, like. I just think this is like a literal travesty. You are so hot. Like, even if you weren't funny and everything, like, you are, no, like, you're pole dancing alone. Like, the titties, the body, the face, the sultriness, like, how you fucking just careen and caress around it. I'm actually getting the chills on my triceps just thinking about it. And I think I've told you this before. I think I've told you this. I've been in your DMs telling you about how much I love the pole dancing content, haven't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I just think it's like really strong. I just think it's like really strong. It's like very, I'm like, do I have COVID or am I just attracted to you? I'm getting chills on my thighs. Like, no, I'm getting chills on my thighs thinking about your literal. Do you see this? Do you see the goosebumps on my thighs right now?
I do see the goosebumps.
Girl, just thinking about it. It's the saucy saunter. It's the saucy saunter. Like, I really like it when you, like, take the, and then you, like, walk around it. Like, I just, like, that's, like, your body's so good on that fucking thing. Like, I'm just obsessed.
Thank you.
And the fact that people are not DMing you to be, like, I want to, like, I don't know how much of a gay man sexually you are, but I like it when people are just... I don't like it when people are like, hey, how are you? Like, if you like don't lead with a hole pic or whatever, I'm like, show me your hole. like, I think that's so flattering.
Used to be that girl. Be like, show me that dick. Show me what you're working with. But now I'm like, I've moved into a different era where I'm in my relationship era where I'm like, let me get to know you first and see if I actually like you before I fuck you so I don't make up shit about how much I like you.
But as it can be torsos, it can be dicks. It's just like the flirt. I like it when people are like forward flirtily mm-hmm. in DMs. I just think that's like sweet and it's like validating or something.
I mean, it does make me feel good when someone is like, you're hot. And I get that so far and few, but the people on Tinder, they've been DMing me, or not DMing me, they've been messaging me. But, like, I keep having these messages that go to nowhere. Like, I talked to this one guy about Beyonce, back and forth about Beyonce.
What?
And that's it. And I was like, okay.
Wow,
so
Nicole. Wait a goddamn fucking minute. Because I'm on your profile right now, okay? I'm on your Instagram right
okay.
now. And I think I know why people aren't trying to set. Like, I had to just scroll down. Like, I nearly just sprained my thumbs. Okay, well, I will say that your one pin thing on your special, you are giving me, like, a little midriff, which is a relief. It's like you're giving me a little bit of midriff. But I got to scroll down so far. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11 lines to get to our first bathing suit pic. I don't know if I'm like sexualizing you too hardcore. Maybe we should edit it out, but I'm just saying 11 lines. And I don't even know when the last time was there an ankle injury or something? Yeah. And like 17th, like I even, July 17th is the last. Damn! Come on. This is so good. We're just like upside down in the Skims and stuff. Like, yes, queen. I haven't double tapping this. I just think you would be getting more flirtykins if we,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, like this, like, Kitty and Vibe by Nicole Byer. Yes, please, double tapping that. I just think we need a little bit more swimsuit pics, a little more body, 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 a little bit more pole dancing era. Yeah, this era for me is just like, I love this era. And this is like a subtle, like, quiet luxury Gwyneth Paltrow sexy, you know what I'm saying? It's not all like, it's quiet luxury, like label-less, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Quiet luxury.
Yeah, because it's not all like, everything, you know, it's just like, ooh, like, you just, this outfit, how dare you make this into one video? This is not one video. This was two. You guys, if you go back to her Instagram on the 4th of July, she has this incredible pole dancing video, but you have an outfit change in the middle that is really two videos. Do you want me to start consulting on your social?
Yes.
I will if you want. You don't have to say it right now.
No, yes, absolutely. Consult on my Instagram, please.
Or was this the same day, but then you just put on shoes?
It's the same day.
Just an outfit change.
And I just put on some shoes and took off some pants and...
Yeah, that was like, you could have gotten like four reels out of that. I wish I was there. It's okay. I just think, oh my God, this texture I'm obsessed with. I'm really glad that I'm really analyzing the IG now. I think that my algorithm had like fucked me right off because, okay, it's going to show me you first from now on. I was like never making that mistake again. Okay. Wow. You guys, if you're listening to this, you guys need to start DMing Nicole more, like more sultry, slutty vibes.
Yes.
And not even dicks or vaginas, just like torso, like even like subtle, quiet luxury, like flirting.
Yes. Show me a face. Show me a bicep. I'll take a leg.
What about an armpit? I love like a pit and like chest hair. You draw the line there.
Once I get to know someone, I like to snuggle in a little armpit.
Yes. Love.
Once I like someone's scent, I just like want to be all up in there.
Wait, so what's your, so tell me more about the Tinder. What's going on with your date? So what's happening?
The Tinder is not going great. I keep having conversations that go to nowhere. I talked to this man for 3 days about Beyonce, and then just didn't answer his last question, and he never responded again. Another guy was just like, how are you? And I was like, I'm great. I did X, Y, and Z this weekend. What did you do? And then he was like, oh, you know, just like clean my house a little. And then I didn't answer because I was like, do you want to ask me out? Like, do you want to? I just feel like people are trying to get to know me on the app. And I think that's an insane thing. You can't get to know someone on the app. Just like, let's go out and let's see what happens. We don't know each other anything. One date and we could be out. Or we can go on one date, two date, three date, four date. And maybe something nice happens.
I don't align with that, Nicole. I think that's like the furthest apart we've been on anything that we talked about.
Really?
Yeah, I do need like a little, like when I was dating and like, I need like a little, like not for weeks, but I need like a little tickling of the taint conversationally to even know if I want to leave my house. But you don't smoke weed, huh?
I don't smoke weed specifically because I get the munchies very, very badly, and it is very hard for me to control. And I'm trying to be a little bit more healthier, and I just crave garbage. So,
I feel you.
And the Postmates brings me the things. So
the
I have curtailed it.
No, that's. I think for stoners, though, it's like if you're gonna leave the house, like I'm not doing that just fucking willy nilly because we match. Like I need to know that like the date is gonna like. But I mean, Beyonce conversations to nowhere and like I don't need to like know what you like for breakfast on the app, but like I need to know that we can have like a cute repertoire, a little back and forth, if you will. So maybe. Maybe just like a little bit more chatting, like, cause, yeah.
I guess maybe, but at that point, the Beyonce conversation had been going on for like a week and a half. And I was like,
well, that's
kind
of a flag. Like, who was talking to you about Beyonce for 10 days?
I mean, he was a real cutie, but I don't know what his deal was.
It's the second time where you said you thought someone was a little gay.
He might be a little gay.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Now, not to go on such a hard right, but
yes,
did you do your own makeup today? Like, let's tell everyone
about
the snatch on your fucking goddamn face today is so pretty.
Thank you. My makeup artist, Jen Fergozzo. She is truly incredible. She's been my artist for a while. I did the talk today. So if you want to see more pole dancing, I teach them how to do a fireman spin on the talk. But then I got home and I was like, ah, shit. I taught them the wrong way how to do it. But you know what? Whatever. A couple of them got around the pole, so it's good.
In gymnastics, when you like do something, like when it's like, you know, called the, like the, like the, you know, like the biles, or like that could be the buyer. Like that's like the buyer fire.
It could be the buyer.
Yes.
Incorrect fireman, the buyer. Wait, how did you get into gymnastics? What's the thing when what?
I'm not trying to tell you what questions we're going to talk about on your podcast. I'm a dumb bitch from hell, so just punch me in the face. But on your Instagram,
what's
that cool move when you reverse grab the pole? Like when you kind of go backwards and you catch it like kind of going backwards, you know?
It's literally called a reverse grab.
I love that. Was a cool move.
Thank you. It took me a very long time to trust my arm because it's you have to be comfortable with a one arm spin for just a millisecond. But like. That trust is very scary.
Trusting now. You did it.
Yes. Wait, how did you get into gymnastics? Tell me about that.
Oh, my God. I could talk about... Well, I'm going to be here till like 10 o'clock tonight. You're going to be like, I have to go. And I'm like, no. Because then the Magnificent Seven in 1996. no. So... Yeah, it's like, we're going way back, girl. I just always loved it. I fell in love with gymnastics like when I was like, 4 or 5, like just from watching it on TV, like Barcelona 1992 games, Shannon Miller, Kim Zmeskal changed my life. I was just like, oh my God, these girls. Betty Aquino, Dominique Dawes, she wasn't in, actually, Dominique Dawes was in 92. In fact, Dominique Dawes was the first American gymnast to medal in 3 consecutive Olympics. She got team bronze in 92. She got team gold and individual floor bronze in 96. And then in 2000, she won team bronze, but she would not get that medal in 2010 when they realized that 2 of the Chinese gymnasts were like 12. And so then they stripped them of those medals, and then it got our 4th place up to 3rd place.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe they were 13. Yeah,
okay.
Dominique. So that's how Dominique snuck in there to get her 3rd medal, but, you know, kind of anticlimactic getting it 10 years later. But yeah, so I mean, just grew up loving it. Like I'd watch like Worlds every year. Like was always like back when you would have to like tape things. Like I just would like be looking on the TV Guide channel, like because I never knew when something would be on, and it was like pre-internet. I just like loved gymnastics so much. And then in high school on a dare in like 8th grade, I tried out for cheerleading and then I made it, but I was not good at it because I couldn't tumble and I couldn't do any of the tricks. And I got made fun of so much. I was like, maybe if I got like able to do stuff, like then people would think I was like more cool or something. So then I just like worked really hard to learn to just, because also like at the time I got like kind of social capital for the first time because like the girls were like nice to me and like I got bullied so much that then all of a sudden once I made cheer, like the girls kind of stood up for me and like made people be kind of nicer to me or something. So, but then like I could only try out for football, soccer because I couldn't do a round off back handspring. But if you could do a round off back handspring, you could try out for basketball. And I was like, I want that good 365 year round protection socially. I worked really hard like my freshman year of high school to get like a round off back handspring, which is just like, you know what a round off is?
Of course. It's a cartwheel where you put your 2 legs together.
Thank you, Nicole Miss Byer. You got it. So yeah, round off back handspring. But I used to like cry myself to sleep. Like I remember like I was like, I'll never get this. Like I was so far away from being able to do it. And I remember my gymnastics coach in junior high said to me, or like my cheer coach that taught me how to do a round of back handspring. Her name was Debbie. And she was like, I've never seen someone with less natural ability learn how to tumble. You get over on sheer determination. And she was so right. Because I'm pretty tall and I don't really have the body type to be like a great gymnast. And so, yeah, it was like kind of a hard slog. I also had like a huge mental block, like really terrified of going backwards. Like, I'm not kidding you, like really, really scared. And I actually wrote like a whole chapter about that in my first book and over the top, like talking about like my journey in gymnastics. But so then I cheered, you know, through college, like through my freshman year of college for 1 semester because I got kicked off the squad and flunked out of college because like, got a 1.7 GPA, whoops. But then after 17, I didn't really ever do gymnastics again. And then I think every former cheerleader does this thing where like once a year when you're like drunk in public, you try to do a round-up back handspring or a standing back handspring as like a party trick. And I did do that up until like I realized that like, oh, if I like break my wrist, I can't do hair, so I better stop. Like I don't want to like do that and like hurt myself because like who's going to like take care of my cats? And then when Queer Eye started and I started doing stand-up, like there was this one night in Portland where I was like, I can afford to break my wrist. And I was like, on stage and I was like, do you guys want to see me do my annual backflip? And they were like, the whole auditorium was like, no. And then I was like, because they thought that I was going to hurt myself or something. And then I was like, well, I'm going to gag these hoes right now and show them that I'm not kidding. And so I did it. And then after that show, I was like, oh my God. Like, you have a whole audience. Like, what are they going to do? Just, like, get up and leave because you do gymnastics? Like, you should start, like, incorporating this into your routine. And so then I, like, started really seriously, like, going back to, like, adult tumbling and, like, really seriously doing it again. And then I did work it into, like, my first two tours, which I don't do gymnastics before my show for fun and slutty because I needed a break because my body was going to break in half from, like, traveling so much and doing gymnastics at 10 o'clock at night at 36 years old. But I am going to bring it back for my tour next year, which, like, you heard it here first. I'm doing this, like, I'm going to do this, like, other tour next year, and I'm going to, like, base it from, like, a few cities and do, like, a couple nights in that city, you know? So, like, I don't, like, it's, like, not as, so it doesn't hurt so bad. So I'm going to bring it back, and then I'm only, and then moving forward, I'm only going to do gymnastics in my tour on Olympic years. Because you can't just be doing gymnastics all the time. So that's going to be my new shtick. I mean, that's going to be my new thing.
That's incredible. I love that. I think I want to take an adult tumbling class, and I'm a little nervous about it, but I think it would be really fun. I can still, I do my annual cartwheel.
Yes. Do you know, like, what, like, the tumble track is?
Yeah. It's a, what, it's like a trampoline, but it's not so bouncy, right?
Yeah, there's, like, it's like an air track, kind of, and then there is, like, long trampolines, and then there's, like, the rod floor. But the place where I shot that Uber Eats commercial with Simone Biles, not to, like, name drop, but it's true. It's in Culver City. How far away are you from that?
I am a little far from Culver City.
Because they do have adult tumbling classes there, like, twice a week. And they're really nice. And it's, like, a really nice place. Like, they have, like, really good equipment. And
what's, like, it called?
I'm actually going to text you after this. But if you look up, like, gymnastics place in Culver City, you'll find it. Because it's, like, the only one. Another place you could hit up. And I've tumbled with them before. It's really fucking fun. And I bet they would totally have you. Is the UCLA gymnastics team. Like, they, like, oh, me and Amanda Seals went and did gymnastics with them, like, last year. And it was so fun. I bet they would totally give you, like, a gorgeous beginner, like, fucking, like skills class, honey. Like, let's be. But, I mean, you could 100% get a roundup back handspring. You could get a tuck. You could get front stuff. For sure.
I would love to. Because I took gymnastics for a while, and I talk about this in my book, and I quit because one of the girls in class called me fat, and I was like, well, I guess that's a bad thing, and I guess I don't come back to gymnastics anymore. And now I feel like pole dancing is my adult gymnastics, where I'm like, I feel good, I'm moving my body, I am, you know, contorting and being upside down and doing all that stuff. But I would love to just get back into gymnastics and be like, no, just because you're fat doesn't mean you can't do stuff. You just do it a little differently or whatever.
It's also, like, kind of shocking how much it's not that. I mean, it is. It's like, not, like, the technique is still the technique, you know? Like, you gotta put your arms up and you gotta, like, wait till you get, like, you know, it's like, you can fucking do it. And like, you can 100% do it. Have you ever seen that, like, really amazing diver boy? Like, that diver guy on Instagram?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He is the incredible. Most incredible athlete. I love his work. Anytime my Explore page shows me him, I'm like, I'm double tapping.
I get so excited.
Yes, I love his work.
Because when a bigger body can do something like that, I'm like, you don't understand how much stronger they are than a smaller person who can do that.
Hell yes.
Because you're carrying extra weight and you just, like, your core is there. Like, it's, I'm about health at every size. I'm also about, if you don't want to be healthy, you don't got to be. It's just, if you're happy, you're happy.
And also, when you said that, like, the way that we're, like, aligned, I'm, like, scared. But it was, like, core. Like, what do these hoes even know about fucking core? Okay, I need
core strength.
Core strength. You, core strength, honey. These fucking people.
Okay.
I bet our core is like, Mike, fuck your core. You know what I mean? These hoes could never.
I've had it. Whenever people comment on my pole and they're like, strong pole, I'm like, yeah, but also strong fat lady climbing up it. The pole is doing the least impressive thing.
I hate comments so much. I hate comments so much.
Okay, we have to take one more break.
Hold up.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Not to go back to your glam today, but also the goddess braids are really giving it to me. Like, I love these goddess braids so much. Like, goddess braids are just, like, everything.
Like, I love them.
I will say that, like, if I was going to get resoundingly canceled on Instagram, like, if there was, like, one thing that, like, my inner, like, white girl just wants so bad, but, like, I'm just not fucking doing it, it's goddess braids. Like, every time I see, like, a gorgeous set of, like, of goddess braids, I'm, like, in my meet and greets, like, anytime I see goddess braids, I'm like, oh, like, I just, everything about, like, the waves, like the unbraided ends that are wavy, but then the braided mid-lengths, and just, like, the, it's touching on, like, everything that was right about the 90s, like, from Moesha, but then just, like, modern.
Yes.
But it's, like, and it's, like, I would kill for, oh, wait, actually, I'm not going to say that. I love Brandy so much. But, yeah, like, I just love her, and I really love goddess braids, and I... What are you doing down there, girl? Get up here.
Listen. I love them. They're very versatile and they're nice and they're good in the water, honestly. Like, they're better than just regular box braids for me. Also, human hair, honey. I can flat iron them, I can curl them, I can do everything.
Yeah, I really, like, I'd seen goddess braids, but I didn't know the terminology for goddess braids until the New Orleans season of Queer Eye. And then I got to work with this girl on Instagram whose name is Nola Brader, and I'm so fucking obsessed with her. Like, I follow the shit out of her. Like, the hair that she does in New Orleans is, like, so next level. Like, her salon and, like, the skill level to slay. Like, they're gorgeous. And then ever since then, I've just been, like, goddess braids. Like, love a goddess braid.
I also
just want to say, note to white people, see me not doing it. See me loving and, like, not do, like, so just, like, don't fucking do it, you guys. Just, like, don't be a stupid fucking nightmare, okay? Just don't do it. But, yeah, goddess braids, I'm just, like, obsessed. So pretty.
How did you get into hair?
Kind of similar as gymnastics. Like, I was minding my own business watching the 1992 Olympics, and I was, like, these slayed ponies with, like, glitter in their hair and, like, these tight, tight buns with all these barrettes and these little, like, cylindrical fringes, like, just loving the hair. I also, ashamedly, was such a beauty pageant queen, mostly because my mom would make like score sheets and we would like not like score, but I always just, we were trying to predict like what states and what countries would make it to the next round, you know? So that was, and I only did that based off of how much I liked their hair or not, because I was like four, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
So that was kind of that. It was like pageants. And then like, but also like gymnastics and figure skating. Like I loved their hair. And I've always just, I always loved hair. And I was always like trying to figure out like how to style it, how it works. Like, why does it make people feel good? And I think it also taught me really early that like it was something that I think for queer people, we are like you're trying to like survive. So you're trying to like connect with people because like, you know, you need to connect with people in order to like survive. And I think that you're often beauty and talking about beauty is something that like the world shows you early that like there could be a place for you there. And so I think that that was like part of it. And then also I think part of it was that there was like this genuine interest and like thirst for like understanding it and like expressing myself through hair. So yeah, I think that was kind of how I got into it. And then I went to hair school and remember like the week before I started hair school, I was like, what if I hate it? Like, what if I only think that I like it because I'm like a fucking gigantic homosexual? Like, what if I hate it? But then after the first night, like when I got there that first day and like saw our kit, like it was like the first time you ever saw like a beautiful man that was into you or something. Like,
you were like, oh my God, I fucking love this.
More than anything. Like, I can't believe I'm about to get to do this right now. And, like, I just, like, the brushes. We also had, like, makeup, the wax pot, our combs, my scissors, like, everything. I was like, this is, like, I can't wait to learn this shit. And I've never fallen out of love with it, so I'm really lucky.
I love that. I feel like your career job should be something you love. Like, and there's no shame if you want to work at McDonald's because you love flipping burgers. Like, I think you should be able to make a living doing that and, like, have a great time and live your life.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that you love hair, and it shows. And like when you talk about hair, and I've seen videos of you cutting hair, and it just seems like you take great care, and it makes you feel good, making someone else feel good.
It does. I also love like fixing something, like with hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like when there's, I love like the immediate gratification of, especially like cutting or styling. Like when there's like a thing, and you're like, why is that laying like that? And then like figuring out like how to fix it, and then you're like, oh. Like, feels really good. But wait, sidebar. My husband and I have been fighting about something. Well, we've been fighting about McDonald's burgers, and you brought that up. Like, he's British, so he doesn't understand, like, why McDonald's burgers, like, settle my stomach so much. But, like, if my stomach hurts, you know, you've ever heard of, like, brat, you know, like, bananas, like.
Yeah, bananas, raisins.
Not apples. Raisins. Can't be raisins. Rice. Bananas, rice, applesauce, toast, or whatever. I was like, raisins?
You know, raisins like, settle your
like,
stomach.
Shitting fire with like just like, like. But like McDonald's burgers, for some reason, I was just curious if this was your experience or like if anyone else like resonates with this. If my stomach hurts and like if I'm feeling weird, like McDonald's burgers and also like a Mexican pizza from Taco Bell really settles my stomach.
That is wild. I truly do not identify with that. No, McDonald's will make me get the grumbles a little bit. So will Taco Bell, even though I love Taco Bell. Have you been to the Taco Bell cantina in Vegas?
I've been to the one in New York. The one in New York where you can get like margaritas and stuff.
Yes, where you could get like a Mountain Dew-arita.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I unfortunately found an Uber Eats Taco Bell delivery that's like 10 to 25 minutes away from my house. And it's not been great.
Beautiful.
But I...
Beautiful.
Yeah, Taco Bell, I think it's just because I've been eating it for so long. I think my stomach just recognizes it. I think that must be what my truth is. Because it's like, oh, this. Like, yeah, I know this thing.
I know exactly what this is.
And, yeah, but let's double back. I didn't mean to.
We can process. Oh, I just want to double back to Simone Biles. What was it like meeting her? I am sure people have asked you this 1,000 times. But she is so incredible. And I think, was it just the world championship that just happened? And I'm just watching her fly through the air in this insane way. And I'm like, is she nice? Is she humble?
Oh yeah. So nice. So humble. I'm so embarrassed. I was so embarrassing. I was so embarrassing. I was such a fangirl. I actually just shudder thinking about the day that we spent together. Cause I was so embarrassing. Like This was like September of 2020. It was actually the first production that I did like in the COVID era, like when there was like zones and it was like the first time that I'd like gone back to work. And so I just had been like kind of shut in the house for a long time. And poor Simone was like not the best person for me to be like unleashed upon for my first time out of the house. I was really wanting to know who she thought was going to make the 2020 Olympic team. So I would say for her, it probably felt like a day of interrogation. Like I was like, what if this happens? What about this person? What about these scores? What about their consistency? What about, and she like, and her coach was with her, Cecile Landy, who I love. I remember watching her at the 1996 Olympics for France. And she was so sweet. And she kind of just kept stepping in whenever I was like being too much with Simone. She's like, oh my God, I'll talk to you about your relentless thirst for knowledge with gymnastics. So Cecile was like really good, but Simone was so sweet, so nice. She was such a good sport. Like she was so patient with me. She was like really nice. There was one clip that we had to shoot where we both had to like, she had to hold the splits on the balance beam for like the longest time. And she was just like sitting there in the splits, like no complaining. I was on a harness I had to jump up and because I can do the splits. And I did all my own stunts for that whole commercial. Like, I'm the one doing that gymnastics. I'm the one hanging from the bar. Like, I did, which also was partly of, like, they had a stunt double for me to do that, like, tumbling pass. And I was like, ain't no fucking glued on beard.
Ain't no way.
Simone's right here.
Ain't no way.
I've been working my whole fucking life to do this right now. And in fact, they were like, can you do round off two back handsprings to a mark? Because they needed me to do it and, like, land right next to Simone. And I was like, yeah, I do that all the time. Like, it's always in my training. I do gymnastics to a specific point, which is not a total lie. Because when you're learning to do a new skill, you have to, like, be able to, like, do it. Like, you know, like, the pit, like, the foam pit? Like, you'll do it into the pit. So you will have to mark, like, where your round off or where your back handspring in so that you can, like, pound off the floor but then land into the pit, you know?
And land in the pit, yeah.
So, like, I know how to mark. So that's called, like, marking. So, like, I was, like, so in my head, when they asked me if I could do that, I was, like, yeah, of course I can do it to a fucking point. I'm not some sort of fucking brand new idiot. Of course I can. I'm a fucking gymnast. But then in my head, I was, like, girl, that's just, like, when you're going to learn a new skill in the pit. Like, you've marked something lots of times. So I just was, like, okay, don't watch this first one, Simone. And then I also whispered to her. I was, like, Simone, if it seems like I'm careening off course and tumbling crooked, like, towards you, like, absolutely dive. Like, get out of the fucking way. Like, I'm pretty sure I can go in a straight line. But, like, and she was, like, okay. But I did it, like, literally six or seven times. Like, we reshot that. Like, so when I'm sweating, if you go back and look, and I'm, like, I'm just drenched in sweat. When she's, like, is that my leotard?
That's
I'm, like,
real.
I'm, like, uh-huh. And I'm just, like, pouring because it's September in Culver City. And the makeup artist couldn't be touching me up every time because it was COVID. So I'm just, like, so sweaty. Then we were, like, hanging upside down on a bar together for, like, 3 hours, like, the longest time. And then holding these splits and I'm, like, harnessed in. Yeah, it was, like, such a crazy experience, like, doing that with her. And also there was, like, a photo shoot that we did where we had to, like, sit on this balance beam together. And I was like, man, why do I have to sit in a balance beam with a leotard next to Simone Biles in a leotard? Like, just there's no amount of, like, sitting up more or like arching my back more, like while holding
but
like
your
a meatball.
Body is beautiful and
I get that it is. And I'm a body positive girl and I'm a health at any size girl as well. But I'm just saying to anyone out there, if you want to go fucking sit in a goddamn leotard next to Simone Biles in front of like 50 fucking people on a balance beam, it's just not the most like. I just like I deserved like an actressing for that or something like the way that I felt comfortable and stuff. But I'm like, oh, just like the best, most outstanding athlete of literally all time. Don't worry.
I'm pretty like body neutral. But if I was sitting in a leotard next to Simone Biles, I would be like, all of the choices I have ever made in my life are now flashing before my eyes because it's like I could have been a gymnast. Could have had a peak body in physical superiority. And I said, no, thank you.
And they're all like giving me like a piece of pizza to like hold, you know, like as I'm eating it on the balance beam. And Simone's like holding a gigantic meatball on a fork. Like, it was just like, it was like such an odd, it was like all like, it really was like it was like such a surreal experience. But I had so much fun getting to talk to her about gymnastics. I do think I impressed her with my encyclopedic knowledge of like Team USA, like gymnastics and just like Olympic stuff and world stuff, like world gymnastics history stuff and like skill names and things like that. But I had so much fun with her, and I think they would have to like double her price to get her to come back for like a round two, because I was so annoying. I really was. Like, I wasn't even on 12. I was on like infinity.
I mean, I'm sure she found it endearing.
No, I think she like needed a good break. I think she needed like 2 days off after that. Like, no, she could, like, she'd be like, okay, I'm going to go to my trailer. Like, she didn't have to, like, I was like, she needed to escape, because I was like,
that's so like, funny. And she'd be on her way to her like, trailer.
You're like, wait, what thing do you think about? Yeah. Yes.
Jonathan, I have a question. We've come close to the end. What is some advice that you would give the single people out there?
I would say that, you know how we always say that, like, each person is so unique and, like, individual, like, you know, we're all so unique. Like, everyone's different. Well, one thing I feel like we don't talk about that much is that, like, so are relationships. Like, everyone's relationship is as unique as there are people in the world. And obviously we ask for advice from our friends and, like, trusted people and stuff. But I think, especially, like, in the salon and just, like, salon and the media on Instagram, TikTok, wherever, like, there's a lot of relationship advice. Like, fuck after this long, you know, fuck right away. Like, don't, you know, there's a lot of advice around sex, emotions, what type of person, like, there's a lot of advice. And I think that so many times that advice, while it's well-intentioned, it was really based off of that person's experience or that person's observation, which is not your experience or necessarily your observation. So I think, like, I don't think we give ourselves enough leeway in terms of, like, even vetting potential partners, because if a friend is like, oop, that's this or that, or if we see this thing on Instagram, you're like, you know, like in Cosmo, it'd be like 37 ways to, like, make sure you get a man or whatever, which is, like, really toxic in the 90s. I think that when we, like, are so aware of how much advice there is, like, you end up missing out on, like, maybe your own intuition or, like, your own feeling. And so just remember, like, relationships are unique as you are.
I really like that. I think that is really insightful. Also, I had a conversation with a friend last night where we were talking about a mutual friend, and they were like, oh, I think I'm going to stop seeing this person because they started doing something and I don't love that thing. Like, they started taking this like class and I'm like not feeling it. And I was like, and I had seen this on Instagram, so I shared it with them. And I know Instagram has a ton of things, but it was like, don't let the ick stop you from having a relationship with somebody. Like, you're not going to like 100 things about somebody, but if you like 10 things and don't like two, that's a pretty good batting average, because not everything's going to be 100%. So don't let this, like, one thing scare you out of a relationship. Because I think on top of not realizing that every single relationship you're going to be in is different, I think we all think that this person's going to be the end-all, be-all, and be this person who gives you 100% of what you need. And like you were saying earlier, you want to shit with the door open. And Mark, right? Your husband's name is Mark.
Yeah.
Mark can't give that to you. Because he can't be there and give you the privacy that you need to shit with the door open. So like that is something that like you deal with. And it's okay. You just go, man, I wish one day I could shit with the door. And you can when he leaves. And then when he comes back, you go back to love is beautiful, and I can't wait till I have love. I think I'm ready for it. I think. I don't know.
I think you are, too. You're, like, stunningly beautiful. You are so fucking successful, and you have so much to give, honey. You know what I think, though? I'm actually not going to say that because I'm about to give you advice, and I don't think, like, I just want him, because you only date men, right? Or do you date? Do you only date men?
I date men mostly, but the door is open for non-binary, trans, women, because I think it's really strange to say, I close the door on this, where you never know what could happen. You could meet someone that you never thought you would be attracted to, and you're going to say no to something maybe beautiful because you live in this weird binary where, like, you have to be with the opposite sex or the same race as you or same ideology as you, whatever. But it's not like I go out looking. Do you know what I mean? I usually look for men because that's usually what I'm attracted to, but I have been attracted to many different types of people.
Yes.
Which I guess you could say I'm pansexual, but I do not identify as that. I identify as Nicole, because I think saying I'm straight is actually sick. I think anyone who identifies as straight is a fucking weirdo. And it's embarrassing. You're just straight. You don't like no kind of flavor. So yeah, I'm just out here looking for love.
Yeah, I just was gonna say, like, you strike me as someone who can be a caretaker. Like, when we, like, because I mean, when did we meet? Like, we did Gay of Thrones in like 2000 and like,
yeah,
14
years
or 15
ago,
or something.
Like,
I feel like I've known you for a long time. I feel like you're so sweet. I feel like you're really caring with people around you. It's a long time. But I feel like you're just very caring and sweet. And you're also, I think you're very loyal. Like, you really are so, like, you've had all the same friends for like a long time. So I just want you to have a partner that is as caring and, like, can, like, take care of you as good as you can take care of them.
I like that. I would love that, too.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Jonathan, thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Getting Curious, my podcast out every Wednesday, and we actually just added two new shows to our universe, which is Pretty Curious, which is our beauty-based podcast. That's every other Monday. And then Curious Now is my news-based podcast, which is, the first bit is like headlines that even straight people are talking about. And then that's like my take on the main headlines. And then like the second bit is like the gay agenda, which is like the stories that I want people to be talking about. And then it's like my take on, like, On Your Radar with Britney Spears. And that's, like, the stories I want to be on your radar. And then we go into, like, a much shorter interview. Our first few, I'm curious now, like, I was having trouble doing, like, I was talking for way too long, which, oops. But the goal is to get, like, Curious Now and Pretty Curious more, like, 40 minutes. And then our Getting Curious is, like, you know, a little more than an hour. So that's always happening. And GVN Hair, we love all the GVN Hair things. Where it's Fora, and you can follow us on GVN Hair or at GVN Hair on Instagram and TikTok. And yeah, no, I think that's all. I'm just like a hot slut out in these, you know, hot slutty times, trying to keep my head on my shoulders, really.
I love that. Okay. Ooh, I ask all my guests this. I've missed it a couple times, but I try to remember. Would you date me?
Absolutely. Especially if we could have, like, a sexually open relationship so that, like, we could both still, like, have sex with people. But I would date you, like, just in fucking... And I think we could do, like, some heavy petting and, like, sitting next to each other.
I'll take it.
Maybe even some, like, group stuff. I don't know. Like, maybe we'll
some
get
group stuff? A little, yeah, maybe a little some group orgy? Stuff.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Ooh, a little freaky.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, give me like 5 stars. And if you write to Why Won't You Date Me podcast at gmail.com with something hitting on me, something nasty, I will read it. So this person said, first things first, I'm going to slather you up with my boy butter and slide you across my mom's dining room table. Then I'm going to slide you into the bedroom because I'm real good at sex. I pull out my Monsters, Inc. Scream draining machine. Well, I don't know what that is. And attach it to your dirty whore mouth. I eat your pussy so good that you scream into my machine and power the whole city. I solve the climate crisis and you come real hard. Lots of love. Okay, bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.